Everyone, welcome to Universal Energy Radio and the Sum of You show. This is Alisa.
And this is Liz. Yeah, I got here early today. Oh my goodness. Anyway, made it in time by the skin of my teeth. And it's not like I'm not set up minutes before, but something happens. Like, oh, I forgot the iPad, which has all the messages on it, or the landline isn't working and I have to switch, or Blog Talk cuts me off and I have to call in again. I'm like, all right, what is? Stop testing me, people. We have enough going on out there. But anyway, yeah, and miraculously, I've made it pretty much on time. Like, it's not like you texted me saying we started the show. Where are you? But, I'm shaving seconds, you know, not a good look. Shaving the seconds, a new soap opera on the Oxygen Network. Hi, darling.
Hey.
Hey, girl. How are
Hello.
You today? Hello.
I'm
I think things are so crazy that we're just automatically like lobotomizing ourselves. Things are just so, so crazy all over the place. I guess, you know, we want to find the aspirational and what is evocative of hope and the greater good, and just seeing so many people coming together to help each other is something that I'm certainly anchoring onto, which is great, and people taking a stand, those in authority that are taking a stand and those aren't, just people coming together. So I want to focus on that, just coming together, mm-hmm. just for decency, mm-hmm. you know, just the basics. Just the basics. We're underneath all of this culture and alleged difference. We're all skeletons underneath mm-hmm. it all.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what the big deal is. And the aliens are like, they're laughing at us like, oh, you want to see difference? We'll give you some difference. Boom. Just watch. Watch when they show up. We'll come together real quick. Yeah. We'll be kumbaya real quick. Yeah. I'm going to save you from getting probed someplace, please.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah. We'll be loving on each other real quick. Yeah. You want a real problem? I'm sorry. That's next. Watch. Oof. It's going to be some men in black situation.
Well, you ever think about that scenario? I think it's because we've seen it at least in our entertainment, you know, you read it in stories and that kind of thing, but you know, you think about the way stories and histories can be manipulated is, you know, to kind of do that archetypal, you know, good versus evil, you know, have one that's so obviously nutso that a majority of people will just, you know, they have to pick sides. You know, it's sort of playing some of that out. And,
oh yeah.
You know, we get so trained again, because of that's how a lot of our entertainment is finally watered down. Like, oh, we have to have a good compelling story. So what really tugs at people's heartstrings, you know? So I think it's interesting because these are like bad, you know, wrestling, you know, personalities, like, you know, here's obviously the heel, you know,
right.
And then, you know, there's like the good guy. They're still in that ring having to do pretty much the same thing, but it's how they're presented. And I remember as a kid, I'm kind of channeling my grandmother, my Lola, Anna, actually, she loved wrestling. She loved wrestling.
Love it.
You know, there's like that one channel that you can get on was like almost like pre-basic cable. It was like
I remember what it used to be on. My father used to love that. My father loved it.
And you could watch, like, you know, like half a day's worth of wrestling matches. And my grandmother, she got into that. Like, that was what she would do. She had like a whole day planned. If she had to do like laundry, and she did some ironing.
She set up the ironing board.
She did all that.
Yep.
In front of the TV, and wrestling was definitely, along with her soaps, wrestling was one of those things that she got. And she really, like, she got sucked into it, and so did I. You know, as a little kid, I couldn't watch the soaps. You know, I just couldn't get into it. But I would watch wrestling with her, and I had like one eye on what was happening on the screen, and one eye watching her and her reactions.
That's cute.
Which are like, you go, Lola. She meant that. You know, she was like, she would get upset, and then I get upset. You know, because she was upset. She told me, you know, that's what happens. We get sucked in. And again, you know, our brain can't differentiate. And especially then, you know, it's on the TV, you can't differentiate between, so is wrestling real? Or are they just really highly trained stunt men? You know, I don't know if I made that distinction when I was a little kid, but, you know, think, he's a really bad guy.
Right.
You know, and that's the story, you know?
Right. Yeah, their managers didn't set up who was going to take the fall and who was going to take what kind of the check and who was going to – it's like reality TV, you know what I mean? There are elements of, unscripted, but it's certainly staged, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So – it's the same thing, but we still buy into the drama of it. Yeah, and it's just the lines are so blurred now because now it's being played out into real life, into politics. So it's So forget about coloring inside the lines. What lines?
Right.
Yeah, we ain't got no lines now. Yeah. So it's how do we transpose the chaos so that we internalize it as minimally as possible? I think it's impossible to not internalize some of it just by being out in the world. I think it's hard not to get some of that at least peripherally, or you could be completely in denial, but then that means that there's a part of consciousness that's cut off a little bit, or choosing to be unreceptive. So how do we have minimal internalization of what's going on? And that's just heaped on. We have to be adults and responsible. Just because it's crazy out there doesn't mean that we still get those bills every month.
Right.
And those children still need to be educated, and families need to be fed, and order needs to be maintained, and clothes need to be laundered. And, you know, I find those things very grounding now.
Mm-hmm.
The things that must be accomplished, whether it's any form of work, any form of labor, any form of obligated action has been a relief, actually, you know, to go-to. Like, okay, well, I don't know what to think about what's going on, but there's a sink full of dishes. That I can do, because it shows control, that you have control over your environment. It's very interesting how it gets played out in terms of feeling a sense of accomplishment and control in a positive way, not in a way to be in denial. Um, I want to ask you, did you get together with your friend whose mother passed away recently? Did that ever get
I did.
Happen?
Oh, I did.
Oh, I'm so glad. Because
it
talking
was a
about
good
why
time.
Oh, good. Why yeah. I'm asking, particularly in times of grief and loss, one of the few things that can really anchor and help what is simplifying your life as much as you can and doing things that make you feel like you're in control. One of the things that really helped me was I was 12 credits short of my undergrad degree. So I went back to school and got my, I worked during the day and then I went to school at night and went to the office on the weekends to do my papers and study and stuff. And, I made it work. But it wasn't like, oh, this degree is going to make such a difference. No. But it was really feeling like I was in control of completing my education.
Right.
I wasn't in control of going through a horrible trauma, but I was in control of doing that. So you got together with her, which is great.
Yeah. She had some stuff planned and those plans had fallen through for, you know, whatever reason. So she was just resting. And when I contacted her, I was in between doing a bunch of different things. You know, I had a pretty busy day on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
But when we finally, I finally met up, what I had done beforehand was I had stopped off at one of our metaphysical bookstores here in Atlanta. It's called the Phoenix and Dragon Bookstore. And,
yes, famous.
Yeah. So is her food. I'm just kidding. It's not. But I was thinking about getting her some type of like meditation CD because I didn't think about trying to get all the stuff done. I have tons of meditation CDs, but I was like, well, you know, she just probably needs something pretty easy.
Right.
I mean, even with some of the guided visualizations, maybe a little too much for it to be like on a CD. So I just was looking around, but I didn't see anything I really wanted to get.
Mm-hmm.
But I picked up some slight little cards for, you know, for me. And then I was like, oh, on the way up there in the impulse buy area,
mm-hmm.
They were showing what music they were playing. And it was a meditation CD with piano and cello. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm getting this. So I got that. And I was like, maybe
nice
she get to. No, you know, she can bring me a copy if she wants to, you know.
That's
but,
right. That's right.
I mean, I was listening to it in the store thinking, this is really nice. So, so thank goodness I saw that, you know, and all my people are like pointing me in the direction, like, hey, how about that?
Better this.
Far left. So I got that and headed over and looked like she had been in hibernation mode, you know, all day, just like, yeah, you know, just
kind
of easing herself in on this Sunday. And so we sat and just talked, and it was interesting because normally, like she has the TV on and she watches. She was watching, I think, like a British mystery. She's a big Anglophile.
Mm-hmm.
So she had that on and she was doing laundry. She was just doing her stuff. And where we sat, like we usually don't hang out at her house.
Mm-hmm.
Usually if we all stop off there, it's, you know, that's like the central meeting point. So we can all go, you know, get something to eat or we all head out and do something. But, you know, I sat down at the table, and I showed her the CD and she was like, oh, it looks really good. And so we just sat down at the table, at the dining room table, and we were just talking. And it was just good. She was kind of telling me how the day went or how her week went. And when I talked to her about, you know, like her work environment, because that's something that I can pull from, I told her about the different, like the grounding and just kind of said, this is really just about being back in touch with who you are, because when you ground out, energy is not yours. It's just energy you've accumulated over the course of the day or the week or whatever, and everyone does it.
Right. And at a place like CNN, can you imagine?
Right.
Ooh, what she's exposed to? That's incredible.
Right. and you know, and TVs are on. It's like
yes,
you know, like
TV
if I go to if I go to the bank or something like that, if I happen to walk in, I usually just do like, you know, a drive through. But if I happen to walk in, you know, a TV is on.
Right.
There
and
are some places.
CNN on. Right.
Yeah, there's some places if you do fast food, it's interesting because even in fast food, they have a TV on. And
yeah.
It's really annoying because
it's
sometimes
so annoying.
You just don't want to listen to any of that stuff.
Or the airport.
So,
like, no, I don't want to.
No, yeah,
know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oof.
Yeah. That's what they're focused on is, oh,
right.
There's nothing else to do. Let's just listen to, let's not, you know.
Let's not.
And she cannot, like, keep headphones in. You know, she has to be responsive to
right.
different departments.
She can't plug it up. She can't,
right.
I can't even imagine she would be allowed
right.
to do that. She can't tune it out. It's the most global go-to news authority that she works for. It's crazy.
So she, you know, she was explaining, you know, not really explaining, but I was just asking her some questions and she was just sharing what was happening and these grounding techniques and, you know, she is so, she was so hungry for anything, any bit of relief. You know, she was really paying attention. Not like she wouldn't, but, how long have I known her? And that has never been an issue, like, for her to feel
so
stressed out.
No, she's fragile right now, so she knows
right.
it. She's smart enough to know it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I actually didn't even do a meditation. I just told her, you know, the different steps and, you know, just what, I said, this is something you can do.
Right.
I said, you should do it as often as you can, but
yeah.
you can do it if you can think about it before you leave, but, you know, she probably not before she leaves for work, but you can, I told her she could do it when she's on the train. She takes, she can take MARTA in a lot of the days, which, you know, which is nice because, you know, she doesn't have to drive. So
that's
she
good.
Can focus on something. And
good.
So, I mean, she can drive to the station and then she most of her commute really is on MARTA. So
right.
that gives her a little bit of time. And it's interesting
right.
as we were talking about that, you know, things have been shifting even with the different stations that she will go to. The one that's closest to her is doing construction on some of the parking spaces. So she has parked, and by the time she leaves to go to work, it's already full. So she goes a little further in to the next station with parking. And that means her time on the train is actually cut down even more.
Right.
So it has thrown her off a little bit. But I said, even if you grounded, you know, and you just did this for like even 2 minutes, I said, I've done this with a boss of mine, a coworker. She was my boss. She looked incredibly stressed and she had a meeting to go to in 10 minutes. I said, I'll take five. And we did 5 minutes of this. We were in her office. And I just guided her through it. She looked like a completely different woman.
You put her back in her body.
Right.
Yeah.
So I said, you know, when you're ready for it and you really want to do this, it can do some really amazing things. I think it can work miracles because anytime you're just taking care of yourself and you're getting back in touch with that, it can there's something about you know how you feel. Like you when you understand what you actually feel like in your energy, you can differentiate between, you know, that and all the other stuff you've been taking in from other people. In other situations. So I told her about that. I said, you know, after you ground, fill yourself back up with you. So that's important. You can't just be, let me ground everything out because, you know, what's going to fill back up in those spaces?
Yes.
And this is all stuff I was taught by one of my mentors. So, you know, I told her, you know, when you think you've done everything with your grounding cord, you know, picture this big golden sun above your head. Not too far above your head, though, like maybe, you know, I don't know, you know, 6 inches away from your head. I don't know. But you know, imagine that that's a big magnet, like a sun. It's beautiful. It feels good. It's a big magnet. It's calling back your energy from all the other places you left it. So it's like an even exchange, right? You've let go of energy that doesn't belong to you and you call back energy that does belong to you. And as that sun fills up, I said, some people like to poke it. And then have everything that just kind of fall into you, you know, others just decide, okay, now I'm going to let that everything just kind of release and let all that energy flow back into you, like from the top of your head. Mm-hmm. So inside and out, filling you up, you know, all your different chakras, filling you up inside and then your aura, the space around your body, you're like swimming in your own energy, and you know what that feels like. It feels amazing. It feels really good. So that's what I gave her as a visualization. And I told her about using the rose technique.
Yeah, I like that.
To kind of act as a decoy to absorb, I don't know, other people's energy, so you don't have to continue like, oh my God, on the ground after so and so just left here. So I told her about some things that I had done in my corporate life because it's such a strange environment. Now, you and me who we work on our own and you go to other places, but you're very particular about, you know, the kind of energy you're going to be in, you know, if you're doing your work and, you know, for me, I have to deal with, someone cooking in the kitchen, about it, you know, wherever I am, it's not a big deal. I can adjust, but, it's not like a room full of, you know, 30 other people in different cubicles. So, she really liked that too. Because she's also in a cubicle setting. So, I think after that, you know, I had to go to another meeting. So we did a quick, dinner at the Waffle House. And then, she said, I'm going to head home and, you know, start listening to this music and just relax. I said, that sounds good.
What
she
a great
texted
gift
me.
You gave her. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was great. It was when it was really good to spend time with her. And I told her about the show and how you had invited her to call in, and she, you know, she actually wasn't like, no, but I told her, I said, you know, I know that you're pretty private.
Yeah,
so.
We understand.
But she's like, well, I appreciate that. And mentioned Rachel, which I'm pretty sure was not having to do with her, but I put it out there anyway. And I told her, you know, if you want to listen to the show, let me know. But she texted me while I was in my meeting and basically said, I feel so much calmer now.
That
I was super tense when you were here, but I could kind of feel the stillness while I was sitting, and it felt good. And the CD is lovely. Thank you.
See, you did a little shifting.
Yeah.
You facilitated it. See, that's so rewarding, and that is so priceless, just to give somebody the space of being present with them, of supporting them, of listening to them, of not judging, of giving helpful advice, sharing your wisdom. How nice.
Yeah. Well, it felt good to get those texts to know that she was, she even texted me. She said, I'm going to try grounding tomorrow when I'm on MARTA too. And so, yesterday morning, she tries trying to give me an update. She said she tried doing the calm intentions before getting in the car this morning. So this is just even just setting intentions, not even all out meditating, but just setting the intentions.
That's great.
Doing that when you're driving, and especially in Atlanta, even for her, she's very lucky that she could just do a short commute, a short drive to a station, and then take the station in or take the train in. But she said drive okay, very chill. Thought I would miss the train at the station, and I was okay with that. But it waited for me. So
she's lining
see
it up.
See how you are working miracles. So I was very happy that she is, you know, was trying those things and was getting some good results and just feeling like she's back in, like you said, back in control of what she's doing
in
her own self.
Right, and things that she can do within herself that it's not a pressure or a burden or an outside expectation. You know, people expect, well, you should be over it by now, or I don't want to bring it up because I don't want you to think about it, or all this nonsense.
Right.
And these are things that she can be very discreet and private and be part of her going through, just stepping through her life. In a way that works for her, and to be gentle and to create space. So if I'm getting anything, and you can share this with her, is that this is a foothold because she's been wanting and needing to create a sense of spaciousness, which is not isolation and distance, although it might be misperceived as that, and I'm getting that it might be misperceived as that. Well, it's not her place or business to explain anything to anybody, but now because of your help, she has a little bit of a foothold on that climbing wall, on that rock climbing wall. And I don't know if she's athletic or into anything like that, but it would be, talk about meditation. You could do all sorts of different things. But to even do like an indoor climbing wall, if she was so inclined, would be very interesting for her to do.
It's funny because when you say climbing wall, I have a younger cousin who loves, well, I don't say she loves, she does it a lot in part. She told me later when I asked her about it. She does a lot of climbing. Well, she started with indoor climbing and then she traveled. She would do outdoor climbing.
She's a brave girl.
But she said she did it because she was afraid of heights.
There you go.
And now she's like, you know, every Instagram I see, I'm like, wait, are you actually working or are you traveling and you're climbing rocks? What's going on?
That's amazing.
But she said, well, let me know if you ever want to do it. And I kind of am interested in it because I have like no upper body strength, but not a lot. And I think it would be kind of cool to do it.
There you go. So something to think about. I got the picture.
Yeah.
So when I get the picture, I gotta bring it. If I get a name, like I mentioned Rachel, and that resonated so much with Jackie to the point that we were like, ooh, this wasn't for your friends. This is for Jackie.
Right.
And to get the picture of the climbing wall and to mention that as something to, whether it's for you, for your friend, for the two of you, who knows, but something to think about. Interesting.
Yeah. I think she may be open to that, especially if like, because a lot of us have talked about it. And I know one of the friends in our group has done it and really liked it.
Oh, really?
So
I think that's
something
to think about. Yeah.
I think that would be really cool for the group
it came
of us
in.
To go.
What do I know from climbing rocks? Me. Outside or inside? I don't even ride bikes. I will not ride a bicycle. I will not get in a roller skate, ice skate. Honey, I'll walk these streets. That's enough. No.
You do a lot of walking. Trust me.
I walk like a beast. Yeah. I do not need to be climbing or adding more. No. I'll meet you guys in the lounge after you've climbed because I walked 80 blocks to get there. Like, I'm good. I'm good. Like, people look at me like, you're going to walk? Yeah, it's only 30 blocks. And they look at me, I'm like, oh, cake. Child's play.
Well, we do have a hand raised.
Well, let's take the call, for God's sake.
But it was a good day. It was a good, some good
time. I'm so happy to hear
and,
that.
Yeah, I was happy to help her in any way so she can help herself. Okay. Zero code 415. Good morning. Who's this?
Hi, good morning. It's Jessica. I was just calling for a message.
Okay.
Hi there.
Hi. Well, let me load up the database.
Okay.
Give me a second.
Thank you.
Sure. Sorry about that. I didn't have the messages loaded up, but it just takes.
It sounds like my computer won't have to do a show, and I'm like, oh, man.
Here we go. Okay. All right, so we're ready when you guys are.
Okay.
Number affiliated with this message is 430. Here's the message. Walk the path of stripping the layers before you, revealing the lightness of your infinite self underneath the illusion of density and fear. So it's almost like that piece of furniture you see at the yard sale, and you take loving care to strip it down and you reveal something so amazing and priceless. I'll read it again. Walk the path of stripping the layers before you, revealing the lightness of your infinite self underneath the illusion of density and fear. 430.
The that whole number sequence, when I first heard it and then I heard the message, like, oh, you know, 4 and 3, it's almost like by going backwards, you're kind of going from a structure into a little more chaos, like kind of going backwards, because usually three is a lot of energy being out there, and then four kind of putting a framework around it so it's actually functional. So just like the message where you're stripping things away, this is really recognizing your own potential. And even the phrasing, the words, you know, walking through, it's not being just like sitting necessarily. It is very active. So as you're doing just your everyday things, because I feel like in talking to you over the, you know, the last few years, every time you've called in, you know, you've always got something going on, and you're always working towards something. So now this is a little more refined, because it's not like, oh, I'm completely lost, I don't know what's going on. You do know what's going on. You do know like where you're heading or where you want to go. Sometimes it looks a little different when you're actually walking that path. But if you know that you've set a course, it's like you got to trust it, which is something we talked about last time. So walking through, and this is now doing what you're doing, but as you're doing it, recognizing different parts of yourself that are finally coming to the surface. And it's not like this, I'm going to pretend like I like it. Like you're just going to, you know, you're just going to own it. You're going to know what it is. And it's like, they're giving me this phrase of smoothing out the rough edges. And almost like it, as a motion, you're doing something, and even if it's not perfect, and that's fine, it doesn't have to be, because that's just a subjective thing that you're thinking about. But the only way to get through some of these things is to do that and to figure out, I think I'd rather do it this way. And this is what you've been doing all along, but now you've got the bigger picture. You're aware of it. So when we look at these numbers, like I said, the four, the three, and then the zero, this is like getting back to, I'm going to say back to the basics, because it makes it sound like it's so simple, but in a way, it's brilliantly simple. But it's getting to the core of who you are. And there are, the four says that there are no shortcuts. You know, just continue being steady with what you said you were going to do, refining where you need to. The three is understanding your energy that you're going to be bringing back in as you're doing this, because of the heightened awareness of what you're doing. And the zero is just saying, get back to that source. Remember what's at the core of who you are. And you add those numbers up, it is a seven. And anytime we look with a seven energy, it is internal. That internal work has to be done first, and then it shows forth. Even if you don't plan on it, like, I want to show that. It's like, oh, it's just, sometimes you just do it in your everyday life, and people pick up on that and think it's really cool, or they get some kind of inspiration from it, because it's an authentic showing of who you are because of the internal work. A lot of times people aren't going to see all that work that you do on the inside. And maybe that's a good thing, because it can get messy. So when it finally does come out, it's much more refined, much more polished. And it's something that people can either, like I said, either they understand it, or they aspire to do the same. So good message for you.
Oh, I'm like right in the muck of it right now. I mean, talk about like going internal and just going like you were saying, like not liking what I'm going through. I'm not liking it. And I've just been praying like hardcore and just taking walks and just trying to like sort through stuff to get some clarity. This guy came into my life that I have a soul connection with, and right from the beginning, I wasn't really sure where he would fit in my life. You know, if he was a student, because he's very interested in spirituality, he talks about spiritual stuff, or if he would be a friend. And I knew that there was like some kind of chemistry going on there too. So when I first connected with him, because I've just seen him walking around the neighborhood and we just started talking, I decided one night to just invite him out with me. I said I was going to go to like an open mic. So I was like, hey, do you want to come? Because he writes poetry and we were talking about it. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember when I said this to myself, but I said, you know, I want to be open with this guy. Like I want to have experiences that I'm having more intimacy with people. Mm-hmm. And it was like, since I made that declaration, all this stuff came up for me. And you know, of course it does.
Right.
But it's one of those things that I just can't really figure out exactly what the message is. And I get it in bits and pieces. I see a lot of red flags with it. So it, I sort of got confused. Like, is this now romantic? But there's no way that this could ever be between us because, like, all these red flags I see and we're at different stages in our lives and all these sort of judgments I had come up. Mm-hmm. And I decided to do this different, or at least that's what I keep thinking is the answer, that I'm going to just sort of let it go. And nothing's being offered to me, you know, like it's not like he's reached out to me and we haven't seen each other. Well, we saw each other briefly, but it was awkward since. So I'm letting the other person make the move, which I feel really positive about that because I usually feel like I'm the one controlling the relationship. So I'm not doing that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel really sort of torn. I think I noticed like I have a little bit of a love addiction thing going on because I know he's not right for me. And yet I still sort of have this like craving to like,
That's the key right there. The key that to identify that, and there's no such thing as a little addiction. So, do you follow? So, you're doing the right thing of stepping back, and that's the red flag. So it had to play itself out for you to self-identify this way, and then just let go of the rest. Let go of the how should this be played out, or what's going on, and the going into somebody else's head. That's all. Survival tactics. The fact that you
right, but usually.
Okay, go ahead.
Usually, when I notice, I have a realization of like, oh my God, I have like some like love addiction stuff going on here. I never really noticed that before, and let me release that. And I've been feeling like intense emotional pain. Like I haven't felt
overnight. It didn't happen overnight. So it's a process.
When I have a realization, I feel better. But I just don't. That's the thing that I don't understand.
Okay.
Well, as you're changing, and as you're getting information to yourself, I mean, you're changing. So sometimes the things that you think, oh, I should, you do it a lot. I should get over this. I should know what I need to do. That's just you putting pressure on yourself like you do. And now the things that are showing up, you can't just talk it through. I mean, the whole thing about trying to get your head around it or understand it. I mean, that's all, again, theoretical, something we've visited in the past. But now that you're being open, like you said, stuff is coming up and it's not stuff that you can talk it through because that's one aspect and it also just keeps it very isolated within yourself. So the stuff you're going to feel, yeah, you're going to feel awkward. You're going to feel not so good about some stuff. You're going to feel weird and you're going to feel frustrated. But you've got to continue walking through. And in those cases, before you start, you know, let me try to think it through. Just receive. Just be still. Be quiet and receive, because there's probably more to what's being conveyed to you in different ways, from you know the way your body feels to the way your mind keeps going in around in a circle. All these things, at some point, you'll be able to recognize, and recognition is a big part. But sometimes you don't have the tools yet to do something with it. Or you haven't uncovered those yet is really what they're telling me. It's just, you know, there's stuff that you've had to focus on that you just, it's like forgetting stuff that's in the trunk of your car or forgetting stuff that's in the back of your closet, but it's there. And it's not like you have to keep searching for it because trust me, things were going to come up that you're like, whoa, I forgot about that. And, you know, I mean, Liz is big about, you know, cutting yourself a break. And in this case, it's just, you know, it's, you are really learning more about yourself. And that's what that message was about, was like, keep it moving in the sense of you're still doing things and yeah, you are changing some things, but sometimes your reactions are going to be the same until you realize I've got more ways to respond to this that won't drive me crazy. That won't doubt that I'm, you know, I'm the same person or any of that stuff. you'll know when it's time to let go of some of those things. And I wish we could tell you which ones, and we can just like have this conversation and point out, but it's just, you know, you're going through some growing and that just takes time. It just, time and practice, which we get plenty of practice no matter what. But I feel like you're on the right path. I mean, I know I've always felt you have been. It's just sometimes our own minds can kind of continue to play the games that we've always played. But this is saying, you know, you can start changing some of the games, and even if it feels a little weird, maybe that's a sign in the right direction. Doesn't mean the whole floor is going to open up and swallow you whole because it's a little different. But maybe that's what has to happen. And even that's maybe not that big of a deal at the end of it. A lot of times we don't get to that point until we get through it.
Right. Okay.
So, I mean, you got some stuff to work with, like on that message that you picked. It's a really good message. You're doing the things you need to do, but you're also doing some of the things you've always done, even if it's a little different, but just keep tweaking it. And when you start to get, you know, in your head a lot and trying to figure out the answer, like I want the answer, and it's never going to be just the answer. Like that answer leads to some other questions. It's just how it works, you know? So let's not like try to be like the be all end all. That's it. And if you got red flags, you see them as red flags, you know, pay attention to that too. It's not the only person you're ever going to meet, right? That's just who is right now. That's kind of what you're working through. So, you know, that's partly why they're saying like, keep it moving, keep walking through, because look at what, literally walking through your neighborhood, you meet somebody, you know? So, you know, those are also ways of looking at opportunities that are showing themselves outside of all the inner work that you're doing. And it's like, oh, it's like test cases, like you're trying some things out. And sometimes it'll work out, but sometimes, most of the time, you know, you go through quite a few situations until you realize, you know, you're refining what you're really wanting. And you don't ever have to settle for something. And that would be your choice, and that would be the other person's choice too. So, you know, you're doing a lot of work on your own. You can only trust that other people are working things out in their own way, and definitely not in the same manner. But you know, you're doing what you need to do, and you are growing and expanding. It's just like, yeah, it's gonna feel weird because you're going in like kind of uncharted territory, and in a way, you're kind of charting it now. But you know, yeah, there's much more territory to cover. You know, there's plenty more to go. So cut yourself some slack.
Yeah, you know what, I appreciate that because I am used to processing through stuff really quickly, and this has been maybe like 2.5 days already, mm-hmm. and it's just been like incredibly painful, so mm-hmm. I think what Liz said, like it didn't happen overnight, so I mean, I just actually, when you were talking, I was having this memory of like the first guy that I really sort of fell for and how it didn't work out. And I remember like sort of making myself like almost sick, you know, I just didn't want to go on anymore. And I thought that if I showed God on how upset I was that he would bring him back to me. it's interesting because some thought similar to that is still like, I notice how my mind will loop of like, why can't it work out? And mm-hmm. it's like, well, how would this even possibly magically work out? Like there's all these things that are wrong about him. Like, mm-hmm. but yet the heart still pulls. Like, I just feel real confused on how like you have these soul connections with people and how there's still a lot of times so many things that are wrong. And that feels very painful. It's a painful thought to me.
Well,
so I just,
you know,
go in circles.
We have an idea. We've been kind of fed an idea what it means for a soul connection. And I know there's many definitions for that. But there's also, that tends to be the much more romanticized version. But if you do a little bit of research, and because it's been coming up a lot with just different things that I've been reading with people who think, oh, my soulmate. But then I get articles that have, you know, from these different various gurus are like, you know, a soulmate connection isn't all roses and romance. It's like, it's hard stuff, you know, because you're coming up with people, you're doing things with people who will push every button. You know, a lot of times it's much more contentious because it's stuff you're having to work out in terms of soul relationships from the past, like overall, like lifetimes and lifetimes of kind of maybe missing each other or being in relationships. And so, you know, that's the soul connection goes much deeper than just, oh, I feel a lot of stuff for you. It could be something that's just tied into lifetimes of different situations where, you know, you've been, you know, husband and wife, or even mother and father, or, you know, you have all these different types of relationships. It's never just that singular, I love you and you love me, and it's, you know, and we're happy. So there's a lot that you work out in any relationship, whether it's romantic or familial or what, you know, you're working out how you are in different companies, you know, in different people and in different situations. So yeah, if you're looking at someone for like a long-term relationship, you're going to get the good, the bad, and the ugly. And everybody deals with that because you know, it can be something very, very seemingly trivial, but you know, like the cap on the toothpaste could be the big deal, you know, the deal breaker that you didn't know. So if you know, you not necessarily have to dismiss anything, but you're paying attention. Like, yeah, I said you're working this stuff out, and 2.5 days versus, you know, however old you are now. I mean, that's a lot of stuff you're also trying to reconcile, because no doubt, like the stuff you're talking about when it brought up stuff from the first time you fell in love, everybody goes through that. Or it's like the last relationship you're in, you kind of compare. Everyone's kind of doing that and working through it because that's, again, I think I mentioned this in the very beginning of the show where we're talking about, you know, even stories that we see on TV, like our brain doesn't necessarily differentiate those stories, and it's a fiction. It's a fiction created to make you feel. And you feel those things as if it happens to you. I mean, you can make some disconnection because you're watching it on TV or you're reading it in a book, but those feelings are, you know, you really did cry or you really did, you know, laugh really hard. You feel those things. So now you're kind of replaying something that you definitely felt before. It's like watching a rerun, and you may still have the same reactions, or at some point it lessens because you have other stuff that you can process and you've put into a proper place. So again, I say, you know, go ahead and don't, you know, keep kicking yourself in the behind because, you know, I haven't figured it all out yet, because you're not going to be done, but you can pause and appreciate what you have actually reconciled when you have been able to feel some of these things and said, oh, like you made that connection with the first time, and look, hopefully you can see how far you've come. And, you know, just looking at different things from a different perspective is going to help you so you can get out of your loop, because even you called it that. And if you can pause and breathe, then you can make a different connection or start forging different connections. You don't have to keep playing it over again.
Yeah. I'm going to write a sign to be easy on myself. But yeah, no, I just made that connection when I was talking to you on the phone, because that's, again, it's like that, I guess that push or that need to like,
you need
the
to
desire
know.
That I have just to move on, just to sort it out and move on, because it's really hard for me to on work and everything. It's hard for me to sleep. Like, it's hard for me to do anything. So I don't like that feeling. It's not healthy and it's not normal. And it just kind of came out of nowhere. So,
I mean, you know, those are patterns that you're trying to break. I mean, every time we talk, it's like, you're really recognizing the patterns. It's just a matter of, they're telling me to be mindful to break them, but then to create something else different, you know. And sometimes when we create or destroy and create, sometimes what we create is still a kind of similar but we can just keep doing it, you know, until we're really able to open a pathway to something completely different that fills it with something so different from what you have been getting that you recognize it. So it's not like some people have to go through these like gradations of, well, I feel angry now. I feel just a little frustrated now. I feel, you know, concerned. You know, it kind of goes down a few degrees in intensity until it gets to like, oh, I actually feel pretty content, or I feel really happy or joyful. And then it goes into this, I feel blissful. You know, you have to, for whatever reason, like we can't just turn it, you know, 180. We have to go a few degrees and a few degrees and a few degrees. But if you're paying attention, you can really start creating a little differently, because you focus on feeling that relief, then, you know, you can create more. but you always have been able to create more. You just haven't been doing it, you know, as consciously as you can now. So good luck with that.
Yeah, thank you.
You're doing the work. You're doing the work.
Thank you. I'm going to be easier on myself.
Yeah.
I'm writing that note for myself right now. Yeah, thanks.
Good. Good. It was good chatting with you. And
thank you.
Years, but keep us posted and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yeah, you know, those patterns can get really crazy. And you know, I get it because, you know, we are, especially me, I can be in my head a lot. And when we notice that we're kind of running a groove in our heads about what happened and why did this happen, that rut can be like a wake-up call, but you have to catch it. Like, you have to catch yourself. And the only way to really move out of that rut is to kind of dig out and do something different. No, you have to really
Absolutely.
Commit to changing it. And you still can't be hard on yourself because it's not changing fast enough. I mean, that's a tough part, is like, well, I'm still here, you know, and we have all these different, timelines that we kind of put all this extra pressure on ourselves, if it's working against you, then guess who gets to change, you know, how those things are set up, you know, and how you receive
right.
it. You know, that's us.
Right.
You know, well, you have to be able to do those things.
No, that's a good point.
So.
It can't be change for change's sake, because that could just be disastrous.
Right.
You know what I mean? There has to be a sense of discernment and discrimination and intelligence with choices that are being made, but identifying the pattern and to neutralize the impact of the judgment is where it starts, and this is why meditation is so critical. There's so much noise. There's just so much noise and self-invention in terms of like being in your head and creating this parallel universe that has nothing to do with what's going on in the world. Not to say that that's good or bad or otherwise. It's just counterintuitive to the process of breaking these patterns. So meditation as built in a practice as brushing one's teeth.
Right.
And quieting the noise. There's so much noise. How can anything get done? That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's it's interesting what can be done when you are just taking a moment, and that moment can lead to a few more moments, you know, where again, it's like just feeling like when you do something as loving and as simple as sitting down and sitting still for a few moments, how that can really change your world. And in those few moments of just breathing, even if you're not calling it meditating, but you are doing something to, you know, just to focus your mind, you know, because we focus on our breathing. We can focus on, you know, on the exhale. And I've been doing this a lot lately because I don't sit and meditate for like, you know, half an hour or whatever. But I will notice when my body's all tensed up.
Yep. That's mindfulness. Good.
Yeah. I'm just like, oh, you know, wait a minute. What's going on? Like, what am I doing that I have to be like, my shoulders are up to my ears, you know?
No, that's great.
So taking those breaths and with every exhale, just, you know, releasing, because, you know, you,
that's just
good. Body can get really tight and like, oh man, what's that furrowed brow? You know, I got,
right.
It's like a serious look, you know, so I have to smooth that out and just breathe through it.
No, that's good.
Yeah, you know, you talked about that before with that need to create space, especially, you know, with my friend that I was talking about earlier, and that was a big thing that came up this sense of space. One thing that we talked about, again, because of the nature of where she works in that news business, is that responsiveness. Like, you know, for me, I have a rule of thumb, and you probably do too, in terms of responding back to emails or texts, you know, give it however many hours or whatever. And for the news business, however, 10 minutes is about you need to be able to respond within 10 minutes.
Right.
So I said, well, the thing is, when you are in that type of environment, and sometimes even if you're not, it doesn't matter. Like
right.
if the phone rings, you have to answer it. You know, if instant message comes up, do you have to respond right
away?
Oh,
absolutely.
Because,
yeah.
You know, we do a lot of that, and I'm like, you know, and this was a particular situation where one person was really needing to get something before a newscast within
wow.
the hour. So certainly there was pressure, but it was like, it's like, you know, we got different questions coming in different periods of time.
Right.
And it was too much, you know? So she was telling me the story and I was just thinking about that, like, because for me, it doesn't faze me to not answer the phone. You know, like, I'm actually doing something. This is my time. This is my space. So I don't feel
not
the need
business.
That I have to pick up the phone right now, you know,
not business.
Yeah. Or respond right away. Like in something, but I used to do that. I used to be like, oh, the phone rings. I can't let it ring twice. I gotta, you know, I'm on it. What, you know?
Right. And how wonderful that you have the discernment. That's the whole point.
Right. Right.
The discernment that you can, okay, you don't work for this 24/7 news thing. If I'm not on a deadline with a client, then
right.
I'm not going to be, yes, I can, how high can I jump? Here, master, this is how high. Unless
yeah.
I'm getting chucks for that, I ain't, yeah, unless.
right.
Yeah, unless
right.
I'm getting chucks to show you how high my ass can jump. Okay, I'm not, and usually with, you know, with me, it's really simple. If it's a phone call within, and not urgent, within 24 hours, if it's an email within 48 hours, you know,
mm-hmm.
and if it's really pressing, like a text or something, it will be probably within, you know, that day.
Right.
If it's,
right.
Unless it's urgent, then that's a whole other story. But yes, you really touched on that discernment and holding that space. And that awareness, like, am I in my head? Well, how can I break this pattern if I'm in my head? And the thing is, with the whole meditation thing, girl, I meditate. I have it down to science. 8 minutes and 35 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And I do it. And I do it when my husband walks my son to school. Boom. Like, I have it. Boom. It's part of like brush the teeth, put the coffee on. Da da da. It's just part of. That's it. And that's the length of, for right now, I mean, I'll switch it up, but that's the length of a triple mantra that I found on, because I have Amazon Prime, I have Amazon Music, so you can, you know, you're not paying extra for it, it's just in there, so you get some access to music, not 100%, but you get enough for me. And I do triple mantra. I listen to it. I meditate. 8 minutes, 35 seconds. Done. And then mindfulness throughout the day, like
right.
what you were talking about. So it's not, I got no 20 minutes. I can't sit for no 20 minutes. Yeah. So there, it's a, and what you say is so true. It's amazing how in just 30 seconds of mindfulness.
Mm-hmm.
Be aware of, you know, oh, why is my right shoulder, you know, up to my ear, my left shoulder isn't? Or why is my breath all in my chest and I'm not breathing
right.
deeply enough? Or,
right.
Or why am I feeling tense and out of my body? I mean, that tells me I'm tired and I'm still pushing myself through, which I tend to do. I'm like, you're just around the corner. Come on, Rocky, come on, you know. But if that's like every day, 24/7, that could get to a girl. So to be,
yes.
to have some discernment of when to know that, okay, you can walk away from this because you did X, Y, and Z, and you know that you have to remove yourself because you are pushed enough. And then you don't want to go down into that rabbit hole. And that's where mistakes will happen. And you'll feel very uncomfortable and completely out of your body. So you have to counter that and really be mindful and aware as to how how you're feeling. And if it means, you know, every 30 minutes that you have to get up and walk around your space, you know, and then sit back down and get whatever you need to do to break it up, then go do it and break it up. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But, oh my God, we're at the end of the show. So
I know.
I love it. If you guys need to reach us, please email loablend@gmail.com. Please like Universal Energy Radio on Facebook. Check out the great shows, hosts, and programming available to you. And we're scheduled to be back on the air this coming Thursday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. Thanks for great conversation as always. And in the meantime, mm-hmm. remember to
follow
the feeling to you. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Love you.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
That you like.